Welcome to a special edition of the ProWrestling.net NXT Recap. I am your host, Zach Zimmerman. This show is special not only because it is an all-access episode available to anyone who wants to listen, member or non-member. It's also a two-for-one show. After last week's episode of NXT, it was the one-match show with Sami Zayn versus Samoa Joe. I sat down to record audio, and I got about four and a half minutes out of it, and just felt a little bit silly releasing a audio review of a TV show that was just that short. So I figured I could tack it on to the beginning of this week's audio review, and then we'll roll right through this week's show and should get all caught up. But there are just a few things I want to mention with this being an all-access show, and that is that my NXT audio review is available to folks on the member side 52 weeks a year. Every week, members are getting an NXT audio review. They're also getting reviews of every major television show that airs in the United States: Raw, SmackDown, Impact. I think we even have Lucha Underground reviews. I'm not sure about New Japan on Access, but I actually think we have Ring of Honor also. So we've got every wrestling TV show that you probably watch covered, at least on the member side, if you're not hearing it on here on the All Access side. But in addition to the TV show reviews, we also bring you Will and Jake's Pretentious Wrestling Podcast. Will and Jake have been getting together now for, God, it's got to be five-ish years now together to record audio. Maybe not. Maybe I'm aging them, but something like that. And so they get together and just have a good discussion every single week. And then, of course, there's the flagship broadcast of ProWrestling.net, and that is .net Weekly, where Jason Powell is joined each week by either one of us on the staff or a special guest to discuss all the major news and events in wrestling of that week. And I put emphasis on special guests because we've got some really cool ones coming up. This week, or, well, by the time you're hearing this, later on today, Jason will be joined by MLW's, and I think also AAA's, and formerly with Ring of Honor's, Court Bauer. Court Bauer will be sitting with Jason Powell for, an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours, just to discuss, like I said, everything that's gone on in wrestling this week. Court always brings a fun perspective and a lot of insight, so that should be a good show. And then next week, again, emphasis on the special guest, because the legend, WWE Hall of Famer, good old JR, Jim Ross, we'll be back on .NET Weekly with Jason Powell. So over the next 2 weeks, the members will be hearing some really cool audio shows. So I highly recommend you checking that out. And then, of course, in addition to all the audio that we bring you on the member side, it does include ad-free access to the website, access to the members forum, first look at the news that we get a hold of here at .NET. So before I was here writing for the site, I was a happy and satisfied customer, happy satisfied member. So I highly recommend you check it out if you have not yet. With that out of the way, let's jump into not this week's show, but last week's show, the show that aired on March the 9th on the WWE Network, taped back on January the 27th. And this was the first show back at Full Sail University after the series of the series of tapings at University of Central Florida. We got the show opening with a video package to hype up the main event match, well, the only match. And then we got the opening video before William Regal came out into Full Sail Arena. He said that last week, which of course was 3 weeks ago at this point, or 2 weeks ago? Yeah, 2 weeks ago, Baron Corbin took unprofessional action when he attacked Austin Aries during his debut segment. He said that he had every intention of taking disciplinary action against Baron Corbin, but Austin Aries had actually put in the request that he did not, in return for one thing. And therefore, at TakeOver Dallas, it will be Austin Aries going one-on-one with Baron Corbin. With that announced, he turned the focus to tonight and said that there's been a lot of unclear finishes in the number one contenders picture lately. And so Sami Zayn and Samoa Joe will have a conclusive finish in a best of three falls match, and the winner will be the true number one contender. As the show rolled on, the commentators, which I actually kind of like this, they talked about, oh, we've got a bunch of different talent set to be in action tonight. We've got Tommaso Ciampa, we've got Asuka, all set to be in action tonight. You know, making it seem like this wasn't scheduled to be a one-match show, but, you know, the match went long and broke the format, you know, in the world of on the TV show. So I really kind of like that, just in the sense of adding a little bit of credibility to the way the show is formatted. After William Regal left, it was main event time. Samoa Joe made his entrance. There was a small contingent of fans chanting Joe, but most of them just booed and gave him a big thumbs down. A bunch of honoraries were shown in the crowd, including Michael Hayes, Sasha Banks, Hideo Itami, Larry Zbysko, Mauro Ranallo, and Adam Jones from the band Tool were all shown. Sami Zayn came out to a big ovation from the crowd. Crowd was almost unanimously behind Sami Zayn. And the first and only match in this show was the number one contender's best of three falls match with Zayn and Joe. First fall didn't come until after the 20-minute mark. About 20 minutes, 30 seconds it came, and these two really just kind of had a pretty standard, maybe even by their standards, slow-paced, kind of lackluster match for the first 20 minutes here. Really not even much to talk about. It was just Joe kind of putting a beating on Zayn, Zayn getting his hope spots in, as the underdog does. You know, Zayn fights well for underneath, and Joe is a good dominant heel, so I guess that story was good, but it was just kind of a standard underwhelming 20-minute match, and Joe won with the muscle buster. And they go into the second fall, and Zayn is still reeling. He's, you know, showing more fire, and Joe keeps looking for these countouts. He keeps, you know, hitting a big move on Zayn at ringside and getting back in the ring to wait for the countout, and Zayn keeps scrambling back in at the 9 count. Finally, Zayn managed to hit a big flip dive over the ropes, locked Joe in the Koji clutch, and I don't know. You know, Joe is in trouble, but I don't know how much of it was him really being in trouble and how much of it was more self-preservation. I don't think the commentators told that story so much, but, you know, there was a whole other fall to go. Joe doesn't want to take too much out of his tank, so he tapped out and he saved himself. That one went at about the 30-minute mark where Sami Zayn won the second fall to even things up. Both guys were kind of rocked going into the third fall, both reeling, both, you know, shaken up. Sami Zayn hit his big trademark tornado DDT, you know, diving through the turnbuckles from the floor, and you know it's always a cool looking spot. But then it was just kind of more of Zayn selling really well. Joe just kind of beating the hell out of him with strikes and shots, and Zayn reeling and reeling and falling, and the referee almost counting him down like it was a last man standing match, which I thought was a little bit weird because I don't really think they do the count for one guy in a normal match, you know, the 10 count to make it to his feet, like a boxing match. I don't ever recall them doing that unless it's like a last man standing match or both guys are down. But nonetheless, that's what they were going for. Joe was just beating the shit out of Zayn. Out of nowhere, Zayn pulls out a Miesha Tate, takes Joe's back, and locks in a rear naked choke, coquina clutch, whatever you want to call it. But Joe manages to reach the ropes. Zayn hits his exploder in the corner, charges with the Huluba kick, but Joe moves. Zayn gets hung up on the top rope, and Joe slips in from behind, locks him in the clutch, and Zayn passes out. Joe gets the win just shy of 40 minutes. Samoa Joe, your new number one contender. Next challenger to Finn Balor. He will challenge him at TakeOver Dallas. And that was that. A series of replays aired, referees tended to Sami Zayn, and Joe was victorious in the ring, and that was the way the show ended. And my just reaction was like, what the hell? I get spoilers coming out of this show live, and I also kind of, you know, I talk to some other people who go to these shows, and I read some of the opinions on Twitter, and you know, there were some people who were like, "Oh, this was match of the year, great match, great match," and there were others who were like, "I mean, I know I'm friendly with the person who was at this show who left during the match to go to McDonald's and get a McFlurry and come back for the end of the match." Like, there were some people who were really, really down on this match. Okay, this was not a match of the year by any standards, nor was it a abysmal, dreadful match. It maybe wasn't as good as I would have liked for these two, you know, for Sami Zayn and Samoa Joe when you hear that these two are going to have a 40-minute, you know, show-long best-of-three-falls match. I think you set your standards pretty damn high, and I could understand if this maybe, like, just met your expectations or maybe even came up a little bit short, but I didn't think it was a dreadful match by any means, but definitely not a match of the year, definitely not what it should have been, it could have been, what they probably wanted it to be. It was all right, but ultimately, I think when at the end of the year comes, when we're having the match of the year discussion, I think we'll look back on this match, if we even remember it, and just be like, oh, that was a match where they wanted it to be a match of the year, and it just really was not. So this one won't even be really in the conversation other than coming up short for being in that conversation. But that said, again, it was not a dreadful match by any means. And also another thing that I kind of did like about what it did with this show is that I've been so down on the UCF tapings and the Full Sail taping before that post TakeOver London. They just fell into such a boring holding pattern every week, paint by numbers, the same thing. I really noticed it as I would set up the format for my live coverage. It would just every week it was like the matches were going at the same pace that, you know, sometimes even the same competitors, or at least the same style of match, competitors at the same level, were competing in matches at the same time that had the same format, and it was just really getting old. So I did like that this match, that this show having only one match on it, really kind of changed up the pace of things. And in my mind, it was kind of, all right, we were just driving on back roads before. This show, this match, was kind of the on-ramp onto the highway, and now beginning with, this week's show is really kind of where we're on the highway towards TakeOver Dallas, the road to WrestleMania, if you will. God, I'm sorry, I hate myself for that, but I was making the analogy that I didn't mean to, make the same analogy, and then I realized that I was making WWE's exact analogy. But nonetheless, as just as far as the formatting of the shows go, I did like what this show did and kind of the change of pace that it set, and kind of how it was a maybe like a little speed bump, if you will, to all right, you go over that, and now going forward, boom, it's full throttle into TakeOver Dallas. So with that, let's jump into the first show that goes TakeOver. I'm sorry, that goes full throttle into TakeOver Dallas, and that is the show that aired on March the 16th. Again, taped at that same set of tapings, January 27th at Full Sail, and well, this show gave you what I just gave you. They gave you a recap of last week's match with Samoa Joe beating Sami Zayn 2 out of 3 falls. Got the opening video, and then inside the arena, Sami Zayn made his entrance, which was, I noted that he got a nice ovation from the crowd, which is kind of interesting considering the crowd had just seen him in an hour-long match. Well, more or less an hour-long match. And he still got a big ovation from the crowd, and they chanted his name loudly. Once that stopped, he just said that, usually it's pretty humbling. Or, well, he said that I came out. Well, I'm sorry. He said, "Last week I went to war with Samoa Joe." He said, "Normally it's humbling to come out and admit coming up short, but I'm not embarrassed because I went toe to toe with Samoa Joe for nearly an hour. And if my fingers were just 2 inches longer, who knows? I could have reached those ropes. That match could have gone either way." He said, "Joe is a world-class competitor, but that does not deter me. That has not changed my goal. I am still destined to become two-time NXT champion." He said the only thing nagging at him is that at TakeOver Dallas, that show is going to steal the spotlight, and with his loss, it doesn't look like he's got anything lined up. He was continuing to talk when General Manager William Regal's music hit, and he interrupted, came out onto the stage, and he acknowledged that Sami Zayn is a pioneer of NXT, one of the top competitors that they have, and Sami Zayn is worthy of something special at WrestleMania weekend. He said Sami Zayn deserves an opponent who is, top of the class, one of the best talents in the world, and that is indeed what he has done. Sami Zayn's opponent for TakeOver Dallas will be NXT's newest signee, and then Regal stepped off the stage. Static took over the big screen, and when it cleared, you just saw kind of a mess of hair brushed off to the side, and that was all you could see. But then as that hair turned and it revealed that glorious face, the glorious face only belonging to Shinsuke Nakamura. The crowd went ballistic, chanted holy shit. Sami Zayn's face was just like, huh? I'm sorry, Shinsuke said, "NXT, Sami Zayn, I will see you in Dallas when Shinsuke Nakamura takes over." And that was it. He just said it as cool as can be, as only Shinsuke could. Crowd chanted, holy shit. Zayn's face conveyed a similar expression. The commentators went bonkers, said, "Do you know who that is? That's the King of Strong Style, Shinsuke Nakamura. He's coming to NXT." They went bananas. And that was it. Sami Zayn left to his music, and he's like, all right, he just kept, as he was backing up the ramp, he's like, all right, let's do this. Let's do this. He was pumped up, stoked to have an opponent of that caliber, and that's that. So big news. Certainly exciting. I do wish that NXT could somehow figure out a way to work in aspects of the show where they could bring in live components like this. So maybe the crowd who is live there, again, I don't know how they could have done it other than backstage segments, and we've seen them do that, and it's not always great. So maybe I'm asking for something that wouldn't have been as good as this was, but God, how great would this have been as a real, just genuine surprise? Like, who could Sami Zayn's opponent possibly be? Holy shit, in a surprise at Shinsuke Nakamura. No, we knew about this for over a month, and like, of course it's thrilling, super exciting, huge news, great news. But a part of me was just like, eh, I really wish it could have been a surprise, and I could have had like that real freak out moment like the people in the crowd and the commentators got to have. But that said, Nakamura just has a ton to offer. The guy's $1 million, and well, I can't wait to see what he brings to the table here in the States. Came back into the arena where the Hype Bros made their entrance, and their opponents, Angelo Dawkins and Kenneth Crawford, were already in the ring. Not much to report on here other than the Hype Bros are actually getting over with this Full Sail crowd, which we've seen in the past is not necessarily an indicator that the act is going to work outside of Full Sail or on the main roster. But it's not dying the death that I kind of thought it would die when it started up, I don't know, 6, 8 months ago or whatever. And this one, the Hype Bros were just in control throughout. It was a glorified squash match for them. Really kind of the only cool spot was Zack Ryder was setting up the Broski boot on one of the guys, and the guy's partner pulled him out to ringside and kind of, thought he had him out in safety, But Ryder just, instead of doing the broski boot, he basically does a double broski boot to both guys through the ropes at ringside. Thought that was kind of a cool spot. There was maybe like a 30-second heat spot on Zack Ryder before Mojo got the hot tag, came in and cleaned house. Hit a big discus punch, and then they hit the hype rider and scored the win in about 3.5 minutes. Hype. And then the commentators went to a recap of the Arnold Classic, which was NXT's second annual appearance there. Featured all of NXT's talent, just kind of showed bits and pieces of that. Got little sound bites from folks in attendance there and showed different segments that they did. And there were also appearances from Triple H and Arnold Schwarzenegger himself. We went backstage where Emma and Dana Brooke were walking when they approached Deonna Purrazzo, the poor victim of Asuka over the last couple of months. They mocked her for not listening to them about Asuka and then getting beat by her again last week. Last week or the week before? Last week. Maybe the week before, I don't know. They mocked her, I'm sorry. Then Emma said, "Well, tonight, Deonna, it's about to get a lot worse. You're in for something a lot worse than Asuka gave to you, because you're facing me, and the Evolution can't and won't stop." Deonna spoke up and said that, well, it can be stopped, and it will be, tonight. She said that, I'm sorry, Dana said, "Well, looks like you're taking this seriously. In that case, we will too, and that's bad news for you." She said, "You know what, since we're taking this seriously, I'm not going to pat you on the head." Deonna said, "Really?" Dana said, "Nope," patted her on the head, and then they walked off. Emma 2.0 and Dana Brooke together, I enjoy this act a lot. Came back into the arena, we got these ladies making their entrance, and it was indeed that match. And it was, again, a glorified squash match for Emma. She just worked over Deonna aggressively. There was actually, the crowd is starting to warm up to Emma. I know she's evil Emma, and they do like booing her sometimes, but there were Let's Go Emma chants from the crowd. They're starting to cheer for her out of appreciation, not necessarily, not because she's doing anything babyface-ish, because she's actually being a great heel. But they're starting to cheer her because they're appreciating what an entertaining and quality heel she is. She hit the Emmamite sandwich. She hit the tarantula. She hit the Emmamite sandwich. Deonna got a little bit of a hope spot, but then Emma caught her in the tarantula, stomped Deonna's face into the mat, put her in the Emma lock, forced the submission just shy of 4 minutes. Pretty decent squash match here. Deonna has been, she's looked rather capable in her enhancement work in the last month or two. Not sure when they'll flip that switch and actually give her a win, but Deonna's kind of in that ranking with, ladies like Peyton Royce and, oh God, I'm drawing a blank on a couple of the others. Peyton Royce and Billie Kay, who, have been kind of just doing enhancement work since they've shown up. But they're kind of at that stage where maybe before long we'll start seeing them pick up a win or two and kind of really start to see them develop themselves. But Emma, God, Emma 2.0, evil Emma, she just does it for me. This segment was nothing significant at all, but it was entertaining, and I'm okay with kind of a. Not to say that this was filler, because it featured talent in a story that we've seen attention on lately, but it was filler in that it didn't feel super important, but it was entertaining filler. It didn't overstay its welcome, and all of the characters who were involved are people who I'm interested in seeing right now, and it was good, it was fine. We got the vaudevillain shown warming up backstage for the main event. Then in the arena, we had Tommaso Ciampa not just making his entrance, but storming his way to the ring. And his opponent, Jesse Sorensen, was already there awaiting him for the third match of the night. Ciampa super aggressive here, just a drop kick right at the bell and began hitting a series of hard knee strikes. Lifted the guy up for Project Ciampa, but Sorensen fought out. But Ciampa came right back with a hard discus clothesline, put the guy down. They just talked about how Ciampa had kind of been getting his feet under him since showing up in NXT. Talk about he's kind of making gradual improvements, and they were really putting over just this new level of intensity that Ciampa was showing here in this match. He was rolling until he ate a really good-looking dropkick, like a picture-perfect dropkick from Jesse Sorensen. Sorensen's momentum didn't last long, however, kind of par for the course on this show, with the person who's going over rolling, the victim getting a little bit of hope, and then completely getting taken over again. Ciampa had a hard knee strike. Like, he got Sorensen up in the corner, almost like in reverse muscle buster position, kind of doubled him over with his head tucked between his legs, and then hit a big jumping knee strike from there, which, I don't know, it looked a little bit contrived, but it was also kind of cool. Ciampa hit some ground and pound and then locked in that bridging armbar he's been doing for a win in about 2.5 minutes. American Alpha were shown preparing backstage. Austin Aries was hyped for, well, coming up a little bit later in the show that we'd be hearing from him. And then we got a recap showing Eva Marie and Nia Jax putting a beat down on Bayley and Carmella after their title match last month, before Asuka obviously hit the ring to make the save. We came back into the arena. Nia Jax was out. Eva Marie was out. Asuka, and then NXT Women's Champion Bayley rounded out the competitors for the fourth match of the show, a tag match, Bayley and Asuka versus Nia Jax and Eva Marie. Obviously, crowd loved Bayley and Asuka, hated Eva and Nia. Well, hated Eva. Didn't seem to gutturally hate Nia as much as just, she was the heel in this match. Let's see. There was one point it was kind of funny where Bayley got the better of Eva Marie right out of the gate. Asuka tagged in, and Eva tried to scurry back to her corner, but Asuka cut her off. Eva tried to hit a forearm, but Asuka just smiled and, you dumb girl, and then just fired off with a bunch of strikes, stiff kicks, bunch of stuff. Asuka wiped them out with a flying hip attack, and then Bayley came in. Nia Jax made the blind tag and took control for her team for a little bit after a Samoa drop, which allowed Eva to come in, take the heat for her match, and it was just kind of a paint-by-numbers hope spot where Bayley, it was one of those ones where Bayley goes to crawl through the legs and leapfrog and this and that, and Eva was just completely a step behind. She cut it off for a minute, but then Bayley dumped her right on the back of her head with a wicked back suplex. Nia Jax came in, looked to drop a leg and stop Bayley from making the hot tag, but she ended up dropping the leg on Eva by accident. Nia Jax was cleared from the ring. Asuka hit a kick from the apron, belly to belly, or Bayley to belly, whatever you will. Babyfaces get the win in 4 minutes, and it was fine. Really not much to report on the match other than it was just babyfaces getting their win, and it was really just kind of to set up what came next. NXT General Manager William Regal interrupts. He said that, he once again made his way onto the stage, congratulated the victors. He said, "Bayley, once again, you have set the standard for what it means to be a champion in 2016. Asuka, you have elevated the most standout ladies division in the industry. You have just added so much." And with this, he announced that the number one contender for Bayley's championship is indeed Asuka, and Asuka will be challenging Bayley at TakeOver Dallas for that title. Bayley's face was, maybe 33% excited for this challenge, 33% holy shit I'm gonna get my ass kicked, 33% holy shit I'm gonna lose my championship. So Bayley knows what she's in for here. Asuka was 100% Cheshire smile. Asuka was thrilled at this news, and as am I, as is anybody who should be listening to this. That's gonna be an awesome, awesome match. Maybe have a little bit of concern for what it means to the future of Bayley's title reign, but nonetheless, I really expect these two to go out there and just tear the house down at TakeOver Dallas. We got a recap showing Baron Corbin attacking Austin Aries during his debut 2 weeks ago. Then the commentators conducted a short picture-in-picture interview with Austin Aries. This was it was not interactive. They basically set it up, and then Aries just cut a little promo. They welcomed him, said he's the newest member of NXT, asked how TakeOver Dallas will be any different than his debut 2 weeks ago when Corbin just laid him to waste. And you could tell it was not interactive because Corbin did not answer that question at all. He started by saying he's happy to be in NXT. He had a lot of different contract offers on the table, but he picked the one where he thought, the group had the most upside and he had the most upside. He picked a place where he had not yet made his mark, and that's what he intends to come there and do. He then turned his attention to Baron Corbin and said the Baron made a really big mistake by coming out there and attacking him from behind, rather than coming up to his face and just asking for his advice. Aries said that Corbin has a goal to be a champion. Well, Aries has been a champion every place he's ever been. Aries said, "I." He said he knows people like Corbin. He knows somebody who's overconfident, not overconfident, but arrogant and lacking self-confidence. That's what it was. Like he's. Like a false sense of confidence, false bravado, just a big guy who thinks he's owed the world, but he really isn't owed anything. Aries said on his case, he's not owed anything. He wasn't signed because he's 6'6", 300 pound. He says he's been the greatest at what he's been doing for the last decade and a half, and Corbin is going to learn that the only thing that anyone gets handed in this business are lessons. I really like that line. He said, I'm the greatest man that's ever lived, and to TakeOver Dallas, it's going to be a great day to be great and a bad day to be Baron Corbin. Excellent promo here from Austin Aries. Aries is just a wonderful mic man. Really has a grasp on who he is. Whether you like who he is or not is another story. But he's really got a grasp on who he is, and he comes across so professionally, so well here. I thought this was excellent. We then got main event hype, commercial hyping Asuka versus Emma for next week's show, and we came back. It was main event time. American Alpha making their entrance, and the Vaudevillains out next. Crowd likes both teams, but obviously American Alpha, arguably the hottest act going in NXT right now, and crowd just completely into them. Fifth match of the show, number one contenders match, winner getting the NXT Tag Team title shot at TakeOver Dallas. This was a fun match. It didn't last as long as I would have liked it to, but it was fun. It opened with, God, would I want to see a 30-minute Iron Man match between these two in the future? Chad Gable and Simon Gotch. Just doing some really, I mean, they only got a minute in the opening of this match to do some mat work, but they just really showed what they could do together. These two, God, they're just hold for hold, catch as catch can, if you will, with some really modern, fun, exciting twists that they bring in. Making old new again. I want to see these two in the ring forever. Forever. Then Aiden English tagged himself in, and this is where the match really kind of began as a tag match. American Alpha, before the first match, the break, had a nice double dropkick, sent English to ringside, cleared Gotch out with the double clothesline over the top, and that was the way we went to the final break, with the baby faces holding the ring. But when we came back, Gotch was somehow in control, and the Vaudevillains had begun to isolate Chad Gable in their corner. This is where I kind of got the impression that they might have cut some time out of this match, because they went right from the babyface team running wild and clearing house to suddenly we were back from break and the heels were in firm control. Gable finally managed to create his. Actually, I should note just a little bit here that the Vaudevillains were not overtly heelish, but there were points where, like, English would have Gable grounded in a chin lock and the referee would be at an angle where he couldn't see Gable's face, so English. Who couldn't see Gable's face, so English would take one of his hands and just kind of, mash up the face of Gable, or fish hook him, or claw at the eyes, or do something like that. Just underhanded tactics. But then Gable used a sunset roll, which then got his head backwards into the bottom rope. Jordan took the best hot tag in the business and came in with suplexes galore, big capture suplex, big back suplexes. But then before the baby faces could hit their finisher, it was broken up. English missed a Swanton bomb, and Gable hit my favorite move in pro wrestling, the Chaos Theory rolling German suplex. Got a good near fall off of that, but Simon Gotch broke it up. Jordan wiped out Gotch to ringside, hit a huge belly-to-belly throw right on the floor. Gotch went splat, and he was done for this match. English caught Gable with a big sit-out powerbomb, got a near fall off of that. But unbeknownst to him, Jordan had made the blind tag, and when English, I think he ran to the corner to, like, set up for a move, and as he turned and hit his back to the turnbuckle, Jordan was right there with that big lunging spear that he does into the corner, crushed him in the corner, wasting no time. American Alpha hit their alley-oop back suplex, scored the pin in only 7 minutes to become the new number one contenders to the NXT Tag Team Championships. And as I noted in my live coverage, and I mentioned earlier, I would have liked to see this get more time. Seems like there was some time cut from this match, a chunk of it that might have made it feel a little bit more complete. But that said, it was a very entertaining match. I mean, it didn't really have any downtime because it was just go, go, go for the most part. I mean, it was rolling through through the first commercial break, a little bit of heat, but entertaining heat while it lasted, and then it was hot tag and rolling nonstop stuff through the finish. So, very entertaining 7-minute match. Fun stuff here. Both teams are really know what they're doing. They're kind of hitting their strides right now. American Alpha more than anyone else. They, like I noted, they may be the hottest act in NXT right now, so it only makes sense that they are the next challengers for the NXT Tag Team Champions. And I fully expect that it won't be very long before we see these two with gold around their waist. Whether they just give it to us right away and, have these two roll right through the champions and win those titles, or whether they go on a little bit of a chase and have to fight for it and earn it, that remains to be seen. But I'm really enjoying what's going on in the tag team division right now. A world of difference from where it was last year. So, major thumbs up there. In this week's show, they crammed a whole lot of it into one show. But coming off of the last couple of tapings, which have been really lackluster for me, thumbs up. I enjoyed this show a lot. Just a lot going on. Very newsworthy. Very action-packed. Maybe a little bit too action-packed, where it's like, maybe I would have liked things for a chance to breathe. But man, after I've been complaining about boring paint-by-numbers shows the last few weeks, I'm not, or the last, God, last 8 weeks, 9 weeks, 10 weeks, I'm not going to complain about this. I enjoyed the show, and I'm very looking forward to the ramp-up towards TakeOver Dallas. Now, as far as these shows go, that's going to do it for me. I will be back next week. I will be back right on time, so no more of these two-for-one shows. I don't imagine I will be All Access next week, so if you enjoyed what you heard here, again, check out ProWrestling.net and check out the membership link there. It's got all the information you need, and I promise once you jump into the membership side, you'll really like what we have to offer over there. So give it a shot. But until next week, folks, take care.